Hope Borkin, it is a pleasure to welcome you back to WABE.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. Good to see you again.
You too. And the last time you were here, we talked about your role as Odetta.
Yes.
And how you immersed yourself in her music and her life to dance the part. Now you've created your own work.
Yes.
And it was inspired by a visit you made to the National Center for Civil and Human Rights here in Atlanta.
Yes.
Please tell us how it unfolded.
On that particular visit, talking to you about the premiere of Matthew Rushing's Odetta, and we were celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Civil Rights Movement, we got a special visit, a special tour at the center. And in a room that's quite intimate and dark, there's a bench that I sat down on, and I listened to an excerpt of Dr. King's Drum Major Instinct, and then was watching footage that was from a different perspective of the funeral.
If any of you are around when I have to meet my day, I don't want a long funeral. And if you get somebody to deliver the eulogy, tell them not to talk too long. Every now and then I wonder what I want them to say. Tell them not to mention that I have a Nobel Peace Prize. That isn't important. Tell them not to mention that I have 300 or 400 other awards. That's not important. Tell them not to mention where I went to school. I'd like somebody to mention that day that Martin Luther King Jr. tried to give his life serving others.
And something moved me, as cliche as it sounds. I was moved to hear more. There were things that I'd heard in that particular excerpt that I knew. I could quote them, but for some reason it was different. It landed differently in my spirit, and so I left there and began to download and look for, recordings and. iTunes is great for that because you could find so much. And then I was also led to an online encyclopedia that had documented all of the things that he'd said. So I'd listen to the speeches and I'd read them simultaneously, or I'd put them in the car when I was traveling. And I just learned so much. And more than what I learned in understanding how scholarly Dr. King was and how even prophetic he was, I felt that his words and the way he delivered them and the cadence that he used was so rhythmical and so powerful that it sounded like movement. And so it was easy for me to go into the studio, play a sermon or a speech, and then start to move to it. And I would record myself doing that. And I found over the course of 6 or 7 months that I wanted to make a new work. And so I set up a meeting to chat informally with artistic director Robert Battle about this idea, since he brought me to Atlanta with him. And he was with me when I had this revelation, to use a word that's, pun absolutely intended for the company. And he liked the idea. And then a few months after that, he said, I'm still thinking about it. And then a little while after that, we're in South Africa, and he walks by me at the hotel and says, oh, we're going to do your work. We're going to do this new ballet. And so all of the preparation, without knowing where the piece would fall, without knowing where it would land, I was able to create something for people that I love in a community and organization that really cares for me. And to do something at home, to create something at home, was just I say often that I have these hopeful moments, and it was really a moment that I cherish, and having the work premiere in New York on December 9th was just something, because I was celebrated before anyone had even really seen it. But success is support, and that's what I got.
Well, you apologized for cliche, and of course no apology necessary, because it would seem impossible not to be moved by Dr. King's words. But would you talk about something in particular that struck you? You said that landed differently with you when you were listening.
Well, that particular day, I think I was more struck with finding out more and listening to more. And he may have been quoting other people. He was even quoting Shakespeare, love is not love which alters when it alteration finds. And then I want to go and I want to read Shakespeare. So it's a lesson. Everything was a lesson. Everything was a teaching tool. And then I was able to bring that to the studio and try to put movement to it, which really meant nothing. Movement is just a movement for the sake of moving until it's given context with music or lights or costumes and the atmosphere that's created on stage. But because the movement was motivated by the words, it started to take a life, have a life of its own.
I love hearing you describe that you began to hear movement, hear movement in his words. It, you know, the whole creative process is so fascinating, and we're learning more about the parts of the brain and where the arts fit in. As one who was trained in music, when I think of Dr. King's oratory, I think of how musical it is. Hearing you describe the beauty of these words as movement is revelatory, because unless one is a dancer, that is harder to envision. I think even if one isn't trained as a musician, if you love music, if you listen to music, you can hear the musicality of speech. But how did the words translate into body motion for you?
Well, it like I said, movement is abstract. So when we reach, acknowledge, put your hand on someone's shoulder, caress someone's back, or even hold a child, for example, the action that you take is relevant to whatever that particular act, you know, motion is. And that's all we do with sound. You know, you hear something musical, whether it's recorded speech or not, you hear something and it causes you to feel a certain way. Maybe it's circular, maybe it's a little sweet. Sometimes we make references to food, you know, or maybe it's a color, it's more blue and less red. And even with creating the music, because it's an original score from a good friend of mine named Ollie Jackson, when he was recording some things, I told him I want this particular drum solo. He listened to Dr. King. The exact same thing that motivated me was playing in his ear. That same excerpt from the Drum Major Instinct that I heard at the center. And so he got the same sensation. Different ways we took, you know, we did a lot of different takes, but those particular things, we had the same motivation. So how I heard movement, he heard music. We have a very similar idea of what the work was trying to say and what we wanted it to say separately and together, music and movement. And I feel that it was easy for us to draw in and be on the same path, you know, walking down the same street parallel and with the idea that Dr. King was passing forward to us.
Would you tell us a little bit more about this original music? Ollie Jackson is the drummer with the Jazz at Lincoln Center
Orchestra. Yes.
Orchestra. Have you worked with him before?
I have. We're friends, and that makes it easy. Once again, that's already success because you have support from a friend. When I told him I had the idea, once again, before I knew where it would be and where it would land, I said, I have this idea for a new piece. Would you make some music? And he's like, oh, girl, sure. You know, because that's the answer he always gives me. And it just makes, it made it easy because he understood. And it was complete collaboration. Even though he's not a dancer and I'm not a composer, he would come into the studio and watch movement. I would go and sit with him and we would talk about things and I would sing, even though I don't sing, or, you know, give him some kind of rhythm or give him a rhythm, even though he's really the true percussionist. And he would take those things and run with them. We come back, we talk. I remember even wanting to name the sections, and I couldn't find a name for the final solo, the final quote-unquote MLK figure solo, and he gave that the title. You know, he said, oh, you should call this Remember Me for This. And so I was like, oh, yeah, that's it. So ideally, you know, we worked together so well that it only made sense to call on a friend. And someone asked me if I knew I wanted it to be jazz, and I said no, I just knew I wanted it to be Ali.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Instead of finishing each other's sentences, you finish each other's movements.
Yes, movement and sound. Absolutely.
I love it. Well, I read that the actor Leslie Odom Jr. of Hamilton fame provided narration. I hope he gave you good seats for the play.
No, well, we're friends. I've known Leslie since he was about 16. And we were reacquainted because he's from Philadelphia, and I danced in a company, Philadanko, before joining ALE after 17 years. So that was a long time ago. But I'm only 25.
Of course.
Right.
You were the little Mozart dancer
right,
with Philadelphia.
Exactly. But we were reacquainted from a pre-performance discussion in California. And I looked out into the audience, and he was sitting there, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is my friend. So maybe 6 or 7 years ago, and that kept us going. Whenever he was on television or doing something on Broadway in New York for a little while or something, there was always, you know, a way to keep in contact. And I always have been proud of him. He's done exactly what he wanted to do. He's carved out his own success. And so I have seen Hamilton a couple of times. But pleasurably, to be a proud friend. And when I told him about this project, he asked how it was going. And I said, well, I may call you. I may need you. And he said, call me anytime. And that's when you know, again, that someone believes in you. You know, when they'll carve out a moment in their schedule to help you create something.
Yes, and, but I hope you are being extremely humble.
It's so true.
I know it's not false modesty, but this is not just a call. This is a calling. I mean, it's the Alvin Ailey Dance Troupe and Dr. Martin Luther King's words. I mean, who's going to say no?
Well, you know, it is true. And I, like I said, I found ways to extract things that Dr. King quoted, people he'd quoted, famous things, Isaac Watts and David Mallock, and like even Shakespeare, and to work those in and have a powerful actor transfer them and then have this incredible music. I mean, I'm really happy with the work. If I can say that, I'm proud of the work that has been put into it, but I didn't do it alone. Everyone has helped me to make this an event that I can look at and be happy with. I still am changing things, though. It's not
really
complete satisfaction. I'll see something and say, oh, I should have done that. Oh, well, maybe. Can you try this later? And Matthew Rushing is the MLK figure. So it's kind of awesome that I look at him and I say, could you try that? Even though, you know, I think he's close to perfect. So after more than 20 years of a friendship, to see your work pulled out and in a person like that, you know, not just an incredible dancer, but an incredible person, you kind of can't go wrong.
No. You are extraordinary.
Thank you so much.
It's been a joy to talk with you.
Thank
and
you.
I can't wait to see the piece.
And clap no matter what.
I promise you, there won't be any shortage of applause.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Hope Boykin, thank you again.
Thank you.